All right. Ready to chat today?
Yeah, I'm excited. Always excited.
So today, part two of our divorce series, talking about seeking support and what you might need in the middle of the process of divorce.
Good. Yeah. Happy to chat about all of that.
Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist at With Counseling.
Okay, so last time we kind of kicked it off with talking about, these two paths, kind of divergent paths as you get into therapy for relationship issues. You know, if you're married, there's kind of this path that leads to like health, and then you may find out that there's a path that leads to, you know, a break in relationship through divorce. So now we've moved on, and where are we at this time?
We're in the middle. So okay. I want to start again with all the caveats. Okay. I think first that I said at the end of last episode and should have been at the beginning, even if you are listening to this and this is not your story or where you're at relationally, I think there's a lot of value in taking a listen of how you walk with people in your life as they walk through relationship fractures. Yep. My hope is that this is informative and gives language and just helps grow your understanding of kind of what this process could be like.
Yeah. I think everybody should be equipped in these ways. You're going to walk through hard stuff with people, even if you don't yourself, and knowing what other people may be going through gives us a lot of empathy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that's like caveat I guess disclaimer one. Second caveat, again, married person, haven't walked through divorce personally and have walked this journey with so many of my clients truly for so many different reasons. Yeah. And so just I'm bringing that experience to this conversation.
Makes sense.
And then I want to define what I mean by the middle. And it is a big definition of middle of divorce. When I think of that, I mean from the moment of filing until finalization.
Okay.
So there is a lot of even middle within that, but I think today while we're talking about it, I'm thinking about that filing the paperwork to that final court hearing.
And then we'll talk about post-divorce on the next episode is the plan. Okay, so we're talking about the literal, what kind of time frame do you see a lot of times as you work through people through the middle?
Forever.
Okay.
That's not helpful, but I think what is surprising to most people, the court system is slow. Mm-hmm. Navigating through assets, custody in particular, can just take a long time, especially if the ending of your relationship is more contentious. You know, if you are amicably ending your relationship, it's pretty clear division of assets, much quicker process than if one partner is dragging their feet, there are big financial things or major custody battles happening. And so there is so much and there's so much nuance to people's stories. And so I even think being prepared for the long haul, like if you are about to file, have just filed, you have likely had months to years to prep for this decision.
Just to get here, your months to years.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. I have months to years for this decision to be finalized.
Right.
And so often what I talk to my clients about is how do they manage in this limbo season? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot that keeps you from moving forward in your life because, again, relationally, financially, you're still connected to another person. And so I think sometimes what is lost in the conversation is the emotional energy of being in this stuck season of, sure, you're moving towards this end goal of divorce and the time to get there. You know, I've worked with lots of couples or people who are parts of couples that financially they cannot like do two separate living situations.
Yeah,
financially, which I think is real for a lot of people.
For
and
sure.
So you are living with someone that you are trying to navigate. We're ending what we've had going on, and we may continue living together for months or years to come. How are you navigating that?
Yeah, that is a lot to think about, for sure.
Yeah. And so I think, again, this is a piece to think about.
Yeah.
How do you support yourself knowing that this is a part of that transition?
Yeah. I think what they call it liminal space. This kind of space in between, right? And
yes.
That just feels liminal space, in my experience, is some of the hardest to deal with. Kind of this, I feel like wandering or something, you know, you're just kind of like out there and there's no real timeline and you're just kind of there. That is some of the hardest stuff to do. And to be doing that as you're breaking a foundational relationship in your life feels like a lot. It sounds like a lot to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so I think knowing that it's a lot, how are you seeking support?
Yeah, right.
I think what I have learned from being a human and doing this work for such a long time is sometimes who you think the people who are going to be most supportive don't end up being.
Really?
And sometimes the people, you are surprised by who gives you support.
Huh.
So I'm always, always, always talking to clients about where are you getting the support that you actually need? Sometimes you're also grieving the loss of support where you thought it was going to come from.
Interesting. What do you have do you know why that is for this in particular?
Well, side note, okay. I think this is an all...
Okay.
In all hardship,
gotcha.
Right? We have all walked through things where we thought my best friend, my coworker, my partner could enter into this with me.
Mm.
And whether it's their own life circumstances, their own limited emotional capacity, that person can't enter in the way we hoped or the way that we needed.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Because some people have different, like you said, emotional capacities. Some people, if they haven't been through something hard before, cannot really understand what it's like.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. And so I think, right, sometimes people are like, hey, I'm headed to divorce. I'm this life transition. And my best friend who has been my ride or die is going to be with me every step of the way.
Right.
And so sometimes in this season of middleness,
mm-hmm.
in addition to grieving the loss of the life you had envisioned, the loss of this relationship, you may also have grief around the support that you're receiving. And so again, I think this is a lovely time to engage in therapy because you have another person to provide you with support.
Right.
Again, part of what I'm doing in session with people is talking about, again, I work primarily with women. So often, women don't want to be a burden, right? I don't want to be too much for my parents, for my friends, for my whoever. And having my role, I feel like, is often reflecting back, has someone said that to you? Is it worth checking in? If you keep asking, say, your mom, am I asking too much? Is this too much? You know, and your mom keeps saying, no, I'm happy to support. What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Then stop having the conversation about being too much. Now, in 6 months, your mom may have her own thing going on. That situation may change. That support spot could shift. And your therapist may be the person in your life being like, you got a lot of other things going on. If mom's saying she's got this, let mom have this and let's work on other pieces.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we're reticent to depend on people kind of in general, like as people. And so I could imagine that being hard to be like, I don't want to, you know, depending on this person's hard. So I kind of make up for that by kind of constantly asking and, you know, seeking that the affirmation.
Yeah. And I mean, also the reality is if you are walking through divorce, you are like, there's probably some relational trauma in that relationship.
Right.
So then to seek support in other relationships, of course you may feel uncertain. Of course you may be wondering, am I too much? Yeah. Is this, you know, all the things, all the narratives that we could tell ourselves. And so again, having a therapist to walk with you to kind of be a help you reflect on, do I trust what this person says? If right. they tell me they're able to meet me here, I'm going to trust. And sometimes your therapist is just the voice saying, like, we're trusting what people say.
Yeah.
Until we can't. And then we'll have a different conversation.
Right. Yeah. And there's maybe a protection there even. Like there could be a lot of stuff going on with that. But I wouldn't have thought about that. That makes a lot of sense to have somebody, a third party again, like we talked about, somebody outside being able to reflect things that we couldn't see ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
And sometimes, again, if it has taken months and years to get to the place of divorce and you have months or years ahead, your friends and family may really be kind of over talking about this all the time.
Yeah.
Again, great place to have a therapist who can, you know, I'll have clients show up and say, I can't believe we're still talking about this. And my refrain is always, of course we're still talking about this.
Yeah.
This is life altering. And whether, I mean, honestly, whether it's divorce or a lot of other things that bring people to therapy, like, I have no expectation or timeline for how people are moving. And I think sometimes that gives people permission, because most of us have an agenda of, I want resolution around this thing in three easy steps and help me achieve that. And sometimes my role as therapist is giving permission, people permission to say, like, of course you're still stuck here. Of course this is still really hard. Of course you're having a hard time. It's okay if we linger here a little bit, because this is a really big life choice.
Right.
This is a life-altering decision. Even if it's a good decision, it still alters your life.
Right.
And so how are we walking through this together?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So having support, especially through a therapist, as you walk through a divorce is a good thing. I kind of assumed you were going to say having a therapist was a good thing during this time, but I mean, that makes a lot of sense. People don't think about the why behind it.
Yeah.
The ins and outs. It's like, yeah, I probably need support, but there's a lot going on that you wouldn't think about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's also like really practical pieces to it. Like I've had clients that as they navigate, you know, especially a more contentious divorce, how do we need to orient our therapy to be most supportive to you? So maybe we try, let's kind of, you know, meet before as an encouragement prep, you know, check in before you head to court tomorrow.
Right.
Sometimes people are like, actually, I need your affirmation and support after I've had a really hard court session. Like there's even a very calculated, like logistical piece to therapy of, how can you use our time together to support you in the way that you need moving forward?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So having support through a therapist is a great idea as we're walking through divorce. What about all the ways that you're having to support other people though? Like if there's kids involved, I mean, you're kind of having to be a rock for a lot of people. What about navigating some of those relationships?
I think kids is one of the hardest pieces, especially if you and your partner maybe don't parent similarly. Maybe you're choosing a high road to not bash or speak right. ill of a partner, and that partner is not making the same choice.
The same thing, right?
Or, you know, even outside influences. Are there grandparents, extended family members that maybe the parents are kind of on the same page, but these outside influences are saying things to children? I mean, really, therapy is not cheerleading. And also, sometimes therapy is a space where people come and say, I had this conversation with my kids. I'm not sure how it went. This is the hard thing that we're navigating. And that I get to say, that was a really great way to say that. There is no perfect way to communicate with children around the ending of a marriage.
Yeah, it's going to be hard no matter what.
It's going to be hard. And so sometimes I am the person who gets to say, like, yes, you're doing this right, or you're going to have this conversation. Let's talk it through. What do you want to say? How do we create some bullet points together so that you are prepping as best you can for these hard conversations? And so sometimes therapy provides space for, again, how are we going to be proactive?
I was just going to say, it sounds like being proactive, right?
About a hard conversation.
Yeah.
And again, because I've done this work with lots of people, I do have some insight, or most of my people have talked about their kids. You know, oh, your super big feeling emotional kiddo may need something different than your strong-willed, you know, super assertive kiddo. And what they need at the first conversation versus in the midst of a custody battle, navigating, you know, moving from one house to the other due to a custody agreement, we get to have those conversations all along the way.
Right.
You know, sometimes people come and say, I had a conversation with my kids. It went terrible. And we talk about what would repair look like? What do you want to convey to your kids that you weren't able to? And again, we get to have conversation about repair and, you know, how to have that conversation in a way that feels better to the parent who's sharing with their children.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like so often people that I've heard walking through these difficult things, especially with children, is kind of putting off the hard conversations. And I assume with your proactive style that that's not the best way to go. Like, would you say that kind of getting ahead of all of these things?
All of these things is so important, because also kids are perceptive.
Yeah.
And depending on the level of conflict in the home,
right.
You know, sometimes kids are like, of course, this is where we were hit. Like, right. I've worked with teenagers who can articulate, I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner.
Sure.
And so I also think respecting our kids just with their own like wisdom and observation, your kids probably know what's happening. And as is age appropriate, how are you allowing them to be a part of the conversation so that they're not blindsided by what's going on?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So, okay, let's say somebody is going through a divorce right now and is not in care yet, but you know, that'll be part of it. Do you have things that you talk to people about that they could be thinking through, just even like outside of care? What are some practices people can be doing like in the midst of divorce?
I mean, I think part of it is, are you meeting your basic needs?
Right. Okay.
Are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you hydrating? Like, I understand that that seems so basic. Right. And when your world feels turned upside down, you are not meeting basic needs.
Right.
Just, that's not what people do.
Yeah, it's almost the first thing to go somehow, which
absolutely
isn't rational, but that's how it goes.
And yeah. So you can't add other things until you're meeting those most basic needs.
Right.
I think other things to think about are making sure, like, are you moving your body, right? Sometimes this pain, this loss, this grief just gets stuck. How are we using movement to help move some of these feelings through your body?
Makes a lot of sense.
And then how are you still connecting? Like, just because you are getting divorced doesn't mean that you don't want to socialize. You don't still want to go to happy hour with your coworkers. You don't still want to take your girls' weekend trip. You don't, like, I think what can get tricky for people is your life is on hold and your life is not on hold.
Going. Yeah, right.
And so how are you navigating that space of like, I'm waiting for this question mark to be resolved.
Right.
Of how long, you know, what is this process going to be like? And also, you're still paying all your bills. You're still going to work every day. You still have to provide 3 meals a day to those children. And so how are you giving yourself space to acknowledge just the weight of where you are, of this, my life feels absolutely stuck and my life is moving forward every day.
Yeah. Cause if you stop taking care of yourself, then lots of other things are falling apart.
Yes.
Right. And, and that just, it compounds on itself. Yes. Right.
And I also think it's a place to have self-compassion of course some things are falling by the wayside because I am in this place of stuck and moving forward. And so of course there's a shift.
Yeah. Might be a great way to set some boundaries too.
Yes.
What are things that I don't need to be doing right now that I can lay aside, right?
Yes. Yeah. Again, why having a therapist is really important because sometimes the emotional capacity of a marriage ending, it just takes, it takes part of your bandwidth.
Yeah.
So to assume that you can continue to function at the same capacity feels really unrealistic.
Right.
And, you know, I'm all about the permission
that
people don't need, that I freely give of, it's okay to say no to some things for this season.
Right.
Because you don't have the emotional capacity. And sometimes people may know that, or they are so busy surviving. Like sometimes in session, I literally can watch someone kind of like melt.
Yeah.
That they just needed someone to say, you don't have to do it all.
Right.
And the realization and the weight of that brings this like wave of relief that I can visibly see. And again, that's a great reason to be in therapy.
Yeah.
To have those reminders of like, hey, maybe that like thing that you're a part of that was really life-giving to you, that goes on the back burner. Or it's saying, hey, you've put a lot of things on the back burner and maybe we need to bring some of those things back.
What are some of those
back?
Things that are life-giving actually? Yeah, that you need to add in. That's good. That's good. What about, we talked about from the start that this is a, you know, even if you're not going through divorce, we want this to be a resource for you. What about those supporting others like in the midst of a divorce?
Sometimes it's practical stuff. So I think what's wild to me about court is, you know, there's like a day and time, but it feels all up in the air always.
Yeah.
So like, where can you practically, if you have a friend, could I pick your kids up from school today so that you don't even have to worry about, oh, this is running longer, whatever the thing is, hey, can I know you have court on Wednesday? You're probably going to be frazzled. I'm dropping dinner off. I'll be there at 5:30.
Right.
Sometimes when we ask people like, hey, would it be okay? You just say, dinner's coming at 5:30 on Wednesday.
If that doesn't work for them, they'll tell you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And it can feel, you know, sometimes we like to say, let me know what you need.
Right.
Like if I'm in survival mode, I don't even know what I need.
And or how to ask and then how to tell you what to do.
Yes. It's more work for the person you're trying to support.
Right.
And so what are the practical ways that you can be supportive? Or maybe it's you are now the primary caregiver where there had been a partnership previously.
Right.
Next Saturday, I would love to take your kids to the trampoline park for 3 hours. What time of day works for you next Saturday?
Yeah, that's good.
And so where are, you know, some of those breaks that would happen naturally in a co-parenting household,
right,
that if you were no longer co-parenting, maybe don't exist in the same way. And so what I always just think about, what is practical help? Food and childcare are pretty basic and pretty welcome.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think too, even if those things aren't possible, you're far away, just like a note of like, hey, thinking about you, like goes a long way, even just that intentionality there.
Yes. We also live in a world that you can DoorDash or deliver anything. Yeah. And so is it like, hey, I'm sending cookies to your house, or yes, a text, a note, a, hey, I'm listening to this really funny podcast book.
Yeah. It's not about divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something not about divorce.
Here's something light and funny. Yeah. I think you would love it. Right. And so I think sometimes being an outsider, it's helping remind people, like, we still see them. They are still our friend. We still want to be doing life with them. And we're acknowledging where they are on their journey.
And really, that's somebody going through any sort of hardship.
Yes.
Those are just really practical tools.
Very practical tools.
Okay. That's great. Well, I think, did we cover everything that you wanted to cover?
I think so. Yeah, it's a big conversation. Yeah. And I think we'll continue more next week with how do you support people on the other side?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
I hope today's conversation was helpful in discussing the middle season of divorce. If you have questions or comments, I'd love to connect on social media at Counseling With on Facebook and Instagram, or you can send me an email through my website, counselingwith.com.